the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepre, also known as Aka. That's so cool. Anyway, we're here. It's now or never, I guess, if that's what they say. But anyway, today's guest is somebody I have known for all my life at this point. I know I have previously talked about my volunteer journey. When I said with UNICEF, when I was a climate change ambassador, I think you're always going to be a climate change ambassador. When it was not a hot topic when we did it, so it's kind of fun to kind of just have her on the podcast, because I think it also gives like a different rhyme of my other past life, and somebody that has known me for a while and seen my journey and also has been in the environmental space and seen it evolve so much, and also probably can talk more and shed light about the volunteering sector in Zambia. With that being said, please welcome Christina. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Aka. You know, when you're talking, we deserve some ding, 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 ding.
You know what? I will tell the person that does the thing to be like, everybody's like at the drum roll.
Yes, please. We need that drum roll. But hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited and nervous because I don't know what you're asking me. I don't know what we're talking about. I don't know if I have the answers.
You do have the answers.
I'm here for rule number one. Let's have fun.
Yes, I think you and I, at any given time when we're together, we have fun. I know we haven't seen each other in a while, maybe in a year or two, but we always have fun, which is like,
yeah,
which is like the heart of everything at this point.
In whatever you do, just have fun.
I know, life is too short. What are you going to say in heaven?
Yeah.
So how have you been?
I've been good. Yeah, I've been okay. How have you been? I've been surviving all the weathers in Zambia and everything else. But yeah, doing great.
I think I've been good. What a year. It's all I have to say. But it's also been a really good year. I think that somebody was telling me yesterday that, oh no, 2026 will be my year. And I was like, I've been saying that all my life. I think I'll just start saying whatever happens, that's my year. So yeah, it's been a great 2025 so far. So grateful for everything that has been unfolding, and yeah, I'm really just excited and looking forward to ending the year strong.
It has been a year, and yes, every year is our year, guys. Every year should just be our year at this point.
I swear.
But yeah, it's been a great year. We have achieved what we can achieve, what we said we should achieve. We still have what, three more months to achieve what we haven't yet achieved. But yeah, we just need to keep showing up and doing what we got to do.
Talking about achievements, something I have noticed, and maybe why I'm so content with my year, is I've had the same goals for 3 years. So now I'm looking at my vision board and it's September. I'm like, oh, I actually have achieved everything there. So it's just timeline, I guess, where maybe you're not supposed to achieve it in a year. Maybe it's about a 2 years or 3 years or 5 years for you to get stuff done.
Yeah, timeline. And but also one thing that I always say that helps me comfort myself is that we should always do things at our on time. I mean, like, the other person's time is not your time. So whenever you achieve something, just be happy.
Yeah, I totally agree. So if somebody was gonna meet you for the first time, how best would you describe yourself?
Aka, wow. Let's see. I guess stick around with me and know how I am. But no, I think I would say I am a let's say, hot and cold, no in between type of person. What else? Okay, you know, when you know, when you think you know yourself, and then someone asks you, and you're like, wait, what?
What am I supposed to say?
What am I supposed to say? But yes, I think I would say I would describe myself as a hot or cold, no in between type of person. Fun. I don't know.
You are very fun, but
the people have to tell me.
So I'm telling you.
Aka says I am fun. So guys, I'm fun. Approved by Aka. I am a, I would say I am a go-getter, set goals and achieve them type of person.
It's a very interesting way of describing yourself. I'll describe you as, yeah, a go-getter, a very enthusiastic and fun person to be around, because yeah, if you don't get it, you get it. But if you've met her, you'll be like, yeah, Christina, how are you jumping, like how? So yeah, it's, you are that person on any given day. So backstory, Christina and I, when I volunteered for UNICEF and Wildlife, I think Christina was part of our facilitators over the years. And I think that's how we met, right? I think so. When you came to Western Province and we had to plant trees for a living, right?
Oh, yes. I was facilitator for that program. Mm-hmm. I was facilitator for that program. And yeah, that's where we met. That's where I met young Aka. And now I have seen her grow.
It's so scary.
Didn't you just finish? Were you in high school? You just finished high school.
I think I met you in 2018 or 17. One of the two?
No, 2018. I remember. Yes.
Yes. No,
2018 is when.
Yeah, no, I was done with high school then. Young Aka was trying to make money, as always.
But then it was always nice to see you bring yourself into the space. Like, even if we're not going to give you transport refund or whatever, you always showed up. And that was something that was nice and inspiring about you. And I think you're still that person, showing up and always willing to learn.
I avoid people for a living now.
You talk to us through podcasts now.
I hope I'm doing the Lord's work, guys.
You are.
I think that I want us to dive into volunteering. I think that was such an interesting experience. And for me, I speak about Brighton all the time. I think he's going to sue me one day.
Like, you know what?
The good thing about Brighton is he never really listens to any of my work. So he won't know. But anyway, we started being climate change ambassadors in 2015. I met Brighton then, who is my designated big brother. But one thing that whole experience did is to do the stuff everybody doesn't want to do, so you could get paid later for those skill sets. I think I've learned so much. I learned so much those four years or 3 years I was part of the program. Because that's the same thing I keep referring back to say, if I wasn't part of that program, my life wouldn't be where I am right now. And maybe I'll still be successful, but I don't think I would have met everybody I'm with now, because that's like the grounding phase for me. So as part of a facilitator, who I think you're a part of the program, then you became a facilitator, what do you have to say about those days? I think those are like the good old days. That's like when climate change was booming, like, you know how nice, like a hot topic, but then us were like blooming. We're begging people to listen to us. We're begging the government to show up. So you are on a rhyme where you're seeing it where it is now. You're working in the industry, but you were there from the beginning. What's the side of the story training these young people?
So like you have said, it was like a really hot topic then, and it was just interesting to be in the space. I think my journey in the climate change space started around 2010, actually. And I was part of the Unite for Climate and Conservation training back then. And for me, it was like I was part of a conservation club. I was part of the Chongololo Club. And you learn about the environment. And at that time, there was a group of girls. I was at a girls' school that had gone for the training before I went for the training. And when we opened schools, they came back and talked about it during assembly. And they were part of the they were more like our club leaders in the conservation club. And they would share and talk to us about it. And for me, I think that was the beginning of that's where my interest all began. And I went to this training and just been in a space with, I'd say, like-minded people. Most of us, I think, didn't really know what was happening, and we were all learning. Like, we were all starting from zero. And looking at our facilitators then, these were young people, some of them our age mates, and you're like, wow, this person is just like me, and look at them stand in front and talk about this topic with all this knowledge and stuff. And I remember leaving that program and going back home, and I bothered my mother. I bothered my mother and told her I had this great idea of sharing what I learned during the conference with a group of youths at my church. So I then reached out to the Wildlife and Environmental Conservation Society of Zambia, because they're the ones who were co-managing the whole program. So I reached out to them and I told them, I just want flip charts and markers and sticky notes. And if you have anyone available on a Saturday or Sunday, they can come and take pictures of me. That's all I want. And I also reached out to a few friends that I had made, because the program at that time was everyone from all the provinces would meet in one space for like a week and learn. So I reached out to people, that the friends that I met from within Lusaka, and I gave them topics. I was like, you'd be talking about waste management, you'd be talking about climate change in general. Yeah. So we just organized like a whole mini afternoon workshop. And I remember I also reached out, to the church and shared the idea that I had with them, and they gave me a go ahead. So initially, the first, my target audience was the youths. And it was inspiring, but also scary to see that the elderly people within the church were willing to be a part of it, wanted to be a part of it, and they stayed back. I was like, okay, tidy me. Just wanted people that are my age or younger, but then I have like this group of elderly people. And I asked my mom to buy me a waste bin so that we could donate it to the church. And yeah, so that was like the beginning of my journey. And I went back to school and was very active in the club. And I found myself being called by WCSZ and UNICEF to conduct trainings. I went for trainer of trainers. And yeah, young me finished school, was in the society for a year, and I'll just volunteer myself again with the group of friends and my fellow ambassadors, climate change ambassadors. we just will ourselves and say, oh, we want to go and open a conservation club. This side, we want to talk about conservation or the environment on this side. We want to plant trees. And it was all about us giving ourselves, not really to pass time, but it was something that we were very passionate about. Like you said, at that time, it was like a hot, hot topic and very few people were in it. And yeah, I went to university and I did something different. I did development studies, but then you still talk about climate change because you're looking at developing communities and whatnot. So these are issues that will still affect the communities. And I think it was from then that I found myself in the conservation space and just nurtured myself. And like you said, giving yourself, just like volunteering for me is very important because it helps build those skills. It helps you learn and it helps you find a village, or rather build a village that would support you. Those friends that we made along the way from all the different provinces. And I think most of us, especially in my cohort, ended up doing climate related things. And it was very nice to see. So yeah, that was my beginning. That was the beginning rather of my journey. And now here I am working in conservation. I think I have professionally worked in, this is my third conservation organization, third or fourth? Third. My third conservation organization. And it's been great. I always look back at the knowledge I gained at that time. And I think that's what helps me even now. It was like a great foundation.
Let's talk about the Chongololo Club. You were the first, were you part of the first cohort?
Of the climate change training?
Yeah. To be created as a climate change ambassadors?
No, I was in the second or third.
I know that ours was the last cohort because we did Livingstone. And like you said, it was a group of 10 people, 10, 15 people from different provinces. And they bring you together and we get trained by trainers to trainers. And that's how you make a village and you meet people. I think the saddest thing is, because of my bad memory, I do not know where some of those people are now. But
people have all grown in different directions.
I know. But like you and the others I'm still in contact with, that mm-hmm. continued to work in the space and gave us more volunteer opportunities as we went. What was the fun thing of meeting a bunch of other people your age in a space for a week? And were you in Livingstone as well, or you did Lusaka?
So Livingstone, I came as a trainer.
Oh.
And I think, yes, Livingstone was the last one where we had everyone from different provinces come together. And then after that,
it was August.
After that,
it was August 2015, right?
Yeah. Yes. So Livingstone, firstly, I was one of the proteges. And then after that, I then trained as lead facilitator and then went, so I was lead facilitator, and then Livingstone was the last one, and then we started going to provinces to train within the province and not bring people together till 2020, I think. Yeah, but being in a space with your peers was quite interesting. It was really interesting, not quite interesting. It was really interesting in that we were all curious minds, mm-hmm. learning what, and others would come from different provinces and share what they're doing, or what, yeah, share what they're doing within their conservation clubs or within their provinces and whatnot. And it was really nice to learn from each other. And my favorite part, I think, was learning theater for art. How can you use the different communication tools that would be available to you? How can you use your phone for photography? How can you reach out to your local radio station? How can you use art, and like simple art, not professional art, just to communicate the message of climate change? And seeing those people, I think it was Barefoot at that time that would come and run that session. I was like, oh, wow. Like, we're always doing these fun things, but then you could actually do something serious with these fun things. And just, yeah, bringing out your talent. I think for me, it was more of public speaking, honestly. I think that's what, and a very good friend of mine and a sister now, Josephine, really nurtured my public speaking skills, which I'm grateful for, and I still use them to date. It was really an inspiring moment. That was just, it was like adding firewood to this bonfire, and just keep the flame burning, just so that you can nourish that passion. Yeah.
No, I get what you mean. And as somebody that is, it's so sad I don't remember you from Livingstone. As somebody,
we were the ones in the orange t-shirts.
I do remember the orange t-shirts. He was like, okay. Because I know that's where I met Valia. So at least I always remember one person. For somebody that is like a product of such a space, and like you said, it kind of ran for like 10 years, but the last 5 years was going into the different provinces and training. How was the shift for you that was now a lead trainer to, from going to a bunch of people to now just a handful of maybe 30 or 50 that you're training per province? How was that for you?
It was fulfilling. It was interesting also, because I could meet about between 20 and 30 young people, from would like pick them from different schools, have them write articles, and then read their articles and select maybe five from each of the different schools within the province. And it, you know, it was young, and then you're exposed to traveling. I literally used to come back to Lusaka to just change my bag for me to go to the next province. And it was fun. And I would say those are moments that sort of built me, let's say career-wise, or how to be professional, or how to manage or facilitate a training, how to plan for a training. Because before that, it was like intense preparations. I just take you back to the time that we would do, for example, the training that you were part of in Livingstone. I think we would sleep for like 3 hours. And Brighton gave us a trick. He said, just bath cold water in the morning and you'll be up all day. So that helped us, you know, like know how to plan for something, how to go about it, how do you handle unforeseen circumstances. How do you go around certain challenges that you would face during a training? And again, I'll still say those are lessons that I still use even now as an adult in working or doing this in a more professional setup. So it was quite interesting to travel to the different areas. And it helps you see, you know, when we say that in each area, there are different conservation issues. They are the common ones, but then there are those specific to a particular area. And you'd really see it. And then when we're talking about solutions, or when we're talking about adaptation or mitigation, then you're really focusing on that area and building a team of young people that will continue to talk about conservation or climate change adaptation and mitigation in the area. You're nurturing young people that are going to come up with these solutions, go out into the schools and talk about climate change and raise awareness around it. And it was very inspiring because you'd see them get in touch with us and want to plan these different programs within their area, want us to write a letter to maybe say a radio station or newspaper so that they can send over their articles. And I think at some point I sat down and saw a little me when I was starting out in these young people. And I said, wow, it was inspiring. Sometimes you think it's the older people that will inspire you, but even the younger people do inspire you because their passion was just out of this world. And again, I'm still in touch with a few of them and I see where that training or those trainings have taken them now, what path they have taken. And it's just like me, it's also built them. It was tiresome. But then again, it was fun. It was fun moving from one province to another.
I think that's where we learned the definition of fun, that you can do work and still have fun. Always reminds me of Bare Feet. All the activities, all the songs, all the slogans, all the chants we used to do together. I look back and I'm like, oh, that's actually real.
I still use them now in my trainings and people are like, can you write that down on a paper? Like, could you write the lyrics? Can you write the lyrics up? We can use them when we go back.
Should be saying copyright.
But then also I must say, you know, when you're traveling, like this is young you traveling and you're given a DSA at the end of the week or at the end of 2 weeks, you have so much money with you. But then also that helps you build some responsibility. Like, okay, I have all this money. What am I going to do? So one thing I always did is wherever I traveled, on our way back, I would be like, would maybe if we're stopping at the market or maybe we're going to Solwezi, am I getting beans and taking home? So it sort of helped me also learn how to manage finances because you are young and you are given or you are making up to, let's say, 15,000 kwacha, and you're like, you could go wild with that. You sometimes say, why did I never go wild? But yeah, you have like all this money, and it's so, like I said, it helped build different aspects of my life, personally, career-wise, financially, like all those things that help you manage because you're dealing with all this money.
And I have to agree, when you start to volunteer, you also kind of get access to different money in the different capacities. So at that young age is, what do I do with that money? I'd have to say for my end, because we were just ambassadors and we never got to reach the protege or the facilitator roles, we never got to experience that. But yeah, I do agree that with time, those aspects does teach you to kind of manage your money right and just grow. Because those TV shows, the songs we sang, the shiny, Walia saw me somewhere. She's like, I saw a video of you singing. I was like, but Walia, I can't even sing. They played it. I was like, that's Aka. I was like, okay. So yeah, I'm glad we still have those things to go back
on. On some of the UNICEF pages, on the UNICEF page, like if you go back, I think there's like, at this point, I would say embarrassing pictures of me. And they also came across certain videos on the UNICEF YouTube channel. I'm like, wow, this should never go public.
I'm
like
glad.
Like it's public, but please.
May the others never
cross it. If you come across it. And now I'm just thinking, I've just said that. And
I know. I am itching. Like, I know I will search for it after this. I just hope that I don't find myself too.
I think what's more embarrassing is what I looked then versus what I look like now. And then I'm like, this t-shirt was big. This was a dress. But I was doing the Lord's work, so pay attention to what I'm saying and not what I look like.
I think there's a time they came to Mungu and I don't know what they wanted us to do, but we sang a song at the harbor. Oh my goodness, I hope I never see that video. But while I saw it, and yeah, somewhere it was a recap of the work we've done and where we're from in terms of climate change and how much it was a hot topic then. I still think it's a hot topic now, and it has transitioned in a certain way. That time you needed to be trained for you to be recognized or call yourself a climate change ambassador. Now you can read on your own, go to a few workshops and just start advocating for your environment, and you can recognize yourself as that. For somebody that has trained people in this space and now you're on the flip side where you are seeing how trendy. It's a hot topic, but very trendy now. What are some of the observations you've noticed in the space?
I would say those days were more of learning the theory, but now it has really transitioned in that every space is talking about climate change, because be it in the financial sector, be it in the education sector, the agriculture sector especially, we are all affected by climate change. And now we are focusing more on nature-based solutions. Like, how can we adapt or how can we mitigate the causes or effects of climate change? And I see that happening more. And in the space that I am in, one of the things that I'm doing is working with different groups, both youths and adults in different communities. And we are looking at solutions. So it could be home-based solutions that we eventually start to see going large scale. So for the women that we're working with, in the space that I'm in, is we're looking at things like climate smart agriculture. How can they use natural resources or resources that are easily available to them? For example, how can they use the chicken waste, chicken manure? How could they use their cow dung in their gardens? You look at the trees in their area. How can those trees be used as manure? Even things like grass and weed. What green things are around them that can be used as pesticides? And those are nature-based solutions. Those are solutions that they can easily have access to and work on in a small demo plot. And you see that grow even in schools. And it's very interesting because you go to a school and talk about climate change and solutions. Oh yeah, you're starting up a garden, and this child comes back to you with a story of how he used maybe chicken manure in a dish to grow three vegetables. And you're like, okay, you really got what I said, and you took it home, and you can make this something big. So it's really interesting. And you can see that transition to people wanting to. We have all experienced the effects of climate change. I mean, we are witnessing how hot the hot season is, how dry, how the rain isn't lasting as it should last. So we are experiencing all these things. I just saw Adele.
Which Adele? Christina.
Yeah. No, not that one.
I know, but also, yeah, I get it. hope this gets edited out. Well, I totally agree. And I think one of my favorite things about now is that the access to information and how everything is going viral, or how information is being disseminated. We're not utilizing social media as much, so we'd always use like traditional communication systems like television, radio. So that also required like a lot of money. But now we use social media, which doesn't require so much. So I like how sensitization is also being done now, and how, because we are all experiencing climate change to all levels, yeah, it's something that is happening to all of us.
Sorry, I sort of lost you because I am speaking to you live from the bush. So when we say technology embarrasses you, it is really embarrassing.
No, it's okay. My next question is, what career path would you kind of advise somebody that wants to get into the conservation space or wants to work in the conservation space?
It really starts with the little things, honestly. It starts with the small practices. I think people that are around me are probably tired of this example, but this is an example that I give. At my house, if we are drinking disposable drinks or water or wherever I am, like if I'm having a disposable drink, I will put it in my bag, go home. I have like a sack that we store these things, and I take them and give them to like recyclers. Well, if you want to make it a business, you can make it a business. But it starts with the small things that you can do at home. And also, just putting yourself out there is very important. I started this journey volunteering, and I volunteered for a long time. And I think at some point people were thinking I was working when I was actually volunteering and not working. So just put yourself out there, be present, and choose. It's about choosing it. And you know, the climate change, when you talk about climate change, it's like a huge thing. But pick a topic of, what do you call it, a niche? Have a niche. You can be in the climate change space, but then maybe yours is more of climate change finance. You can be in the climate change space, but yours is more of nature-based solutions. But it's always, because it's a very broad topic, you can talk about it broadly, but like have narrow it down to something that you'd be interested in, or something that you're interested in, and grow with that. But always put yourself out there, because you never know where or who is watching and who would recommend you where. My current job for me was a recommendation. I was actually called to come and work here. I did not apply for it. So someone asked someone, and they said, oh, how is Christina in this space? And they just described me. And this is why I say, I think people describe me better than I would describe myself. Yeah. So they just, you know, they like gave all this description, and there was, oh, she's passionate and she does what. And they said, this is the type of person we are looking for in this space. And the court man said, oh, there's this and this opportunity. Would you be interested in, and whatnot? And that's how I found myself in my current job. So it's about you putting yourself out there and doing your best. Sometimes as young people out there, we are looking for money. We're all looking for money, honestly. And sometimes you'd say, ah, I just go and volunteer myself. I go and take part in World Cleanup Day. I go and pick papers, and then what? Like, what am I going to get? You know, but I took part in all these activities, and you meet people in these different spaces. You meet people that could be a step on that ladder for you to get to where you want to be. So volunteer, put yourself out there. If you have an opportunity that that is not volunteering, but actual work where you actually get paid, go for it. Show up. I wouldn't say, you know, the climate change space or the environmental space is more about passion.
Yeah.
You need to have the passion for it, and then the money will come. You enjoy the money.
True.
You will enjoy the money, but just put yourself out there and be willing to learn. You might have been learning or talking about climate change since 2010, and it's like 10, 15 years down the line, or 20 years down the line, but then there's still more that you need to learn, and learning from others. Don't be the person that just sits and says, I started this a long time. When you just wake me up, I'm going to start talking about climate change, adaptation, mitigation, tree planting. I even know the terminologies, you know?
Yeah.
But always find yourself in a space where you learn.
Yeah, I think, what can I say? The climate space is one of the easiest to get in, because a lot of organizations are working towards the environment and trying to bring more awareness to what's going on around us. I always feel like it's like one of the easiest to get in, if that makes any sense. And when you have gotten to understand the basics, like you also mentioned, pick one thing you're going to be focusing on, because climate change is so broad. Are you going to be talking about mitigation? What are you going to be talking about? What brand are you going to create for yourself? So it's
build your brand. Are you the climate justice type of person? Mm-hmm.
You're like, you have to have a brand. You have to kind of mm-hmm. be known for something. When we were climate change ambassadors, they knew we advocated for the environment. So even when you transition to something else, you also have to always, whatever career it is, doesn't matter what it is, you have to pick a niche. Is it a niche? Yeah, a niche. That you're always going to talk about, because we genuinely mm-hmm. want to know you for something, and people will mm-hmm. recommend you because they know you are sticking and you believe and you're very passionate about that one thing. So yeah, but a very interesting space to be in. Love to see it now. I always miss the old days. Like, I think as much as I like this space now, I wouldn't want to be
in it. There's something about the old days.
The old days were fun. We had a whole community. We're all not in competition. It was like, we all knew what we needed to get done. And I think that's what's very different. But now it's because there's no community or no organization that is doing it at a large scale like UNICEF and Wildlife did it. Everybody is like, we're all competing for opportunities. We're all doing this. Funds are limited. How many projects can you do with so many people? So that's why I miss the olden days. Yeah. I like competition, but I don't think it's necessary in everything. So I knew early to
But also, it's in as much as now there's like a lot of people doing it, it's also a good thing in that now there's more people that like the environment is big. So for example, if my focus is in let's say Mongo, and then there's another organization whose focus is in Siavonga, at least there's like extra hands reaching out to the whole, to different spaces.
Yeah.
And we might all be doing it in a different way, but then at the end result or the end goal is the same. We want to raise awareness, and we want people to be able to adapt to the impacts and mitigate the causes. So it may not be as fun as it was before, but it still is fun. I think it just it just got a whole lot serious because I mean, the topic just got hotter. It was a hot topic, just got hotter, and all hands are very necessary.
Yes.
And no, I also do agree with a limited funding pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
No, I get it.
We gotta do what we gotta do.
I never like to call myself a former climate change ambassador because I'm very passionate about the environment. I just low-key do it and participate when I can.
An ambassador, always.
Always an ambassador. Like, you can never get those terminologies out of your mouth. I think that on a person or not, I love to see it. It's a great space to be in. Advocacy in general, I think that we always will need people to talk about different stuff and bring awareness. What can I say? I feel like I was just phased out with the intake I was in. It's like, okay, I'm very passionate about the environment, but we mentioned something to do is, what do you want to be known for? And I think after 2020, I rebranded and said, hey, I want to be known for this, and I want to be a business person instead of an advocate, da 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 da. So yeah, but it's a great space to be in. I like it for everybody in it. Love to see it. And also like when the young ones, I'm still young, right? But yeah, I also like it when the new ones, the young ones who are younger than me are doing it and having experience and having fun and just joining the advocacy space. I think it's like so, so fun to watch. So yeah. So Christina, I want you to talk about your current work and what you're currently doing and what that looks like for you now.
Okay. So I am currently working with Game Rangers International. We are a non-government organization that is working with local communities as well as the Department of National Parks and Wildlife. So we have like a wildlife rescue program, a resource protection program, and a community outreach program. And all these, the three pillars all feed into each other at some point, because we can't protect our wildlife and wild spaces without involving the communities that are living closer to them. But then also we need to support the wildlife rangers or wildlife police officers in different areas for them to be able to efficiently and effectively take care of our wildlife wild spaces, them going on patrols, training more rangers, using tech, analyzing the data. And then also wildlife rescue. So what we do is rescue, rehabilitate, and release back into the wild animals that are maybe separated from their herds or their families or mothers at a young age. More especially, so our focus is more on the primates, monkeys, baboons, but also the elephant. So we have an elephant orphanage project and a Zambia primate project. And for the elephant orphanage project, if you are in Lusaka, you can come through to Lusaka National Park. And between 11:45 and 13, you get to see the orphaned elephants. So they are rescued, not to be kept as pets, but over the age of 3.5 years, we relocate them to our release facility and they slowly start to go back into the wild. So they are kept as wild as they should be because they're going back into the wild. Then my role at Game Rangers International is I'm under the Community Outreach Program and I am the Education Coordinator. So for me, I coordinate. We're working in Rufunsa Game Management Area, which is around Lower Zambezi National Park. We're here in Lusaka and our offices are also in Lusaka National Park, and we're also in Kafue National Park. So mine is to coordinate education activities, be it school-based conservation activities or community-based conservation activities. And our team consists of a number of people. We have outreach rangers, education rangers, and yeah, that's the team that I work with. And we also look at human wildlife conflict incidences in the areas that we're working in. Yeah, that's me and what I'm doing currently. I've been at it since, when did I start? May 2023. So I'm in my second year.
It's been a while.
But it's been a while at this organization. But yeah, I've worked with other organizations as well.
You know, I know you, Christine, and I know the other organizations you work for, right?
Okay, I've worked for International Crane Foundation. So I was in the Kafue floodplains, which is Blue Lagoon and Loch Neva National Parks, protecting the crane species, again, working with communities. So you can already see that me, I'm the community.
That's your trend, yeah.
And then I also worked for Wildlife and Environmental Conservation Society of Zambia, which is known as the oldest and the oldest conservation organization in Zambia. So they run the Chongololo clubs all across the country. Yeah. And I worked as an education officer. I started there as an intern, a volunteer, an intern. Then, yeah. So you can already see that I've been in the conservation education space and community engagement space. And
we could safely say you've been in it for 10 years, 15 years.
Yes, 15 years.
It's been a while. And that's what you're known for. When I listen to you speak, because everybody would be thinking it would be a very easy way to kind of get into such a circle and start working in it. But Cholwe, she's also in the same space. She's also my friend. She always talks about how for the conservation space, you're always discovering something new. It's a very, it wasn't a well linear. It's not a linear career. That's what I'd use. Like, it's not a linear career. It's not like if I get a job in banking, there are so many options for me to see and what my career path would look like. But for this, it's like you really have to try different things. You really have to explore, also build skill sets, get recommended, that type of thing for you to get certain jobs. Because, maybe in 10 years, that's when it would be more linear on the path. But it's like you're creating as you go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
It is. You and I also I still do quite like a number of things. I mean, like managing projects and whatnot, but then eventually you come to understand, like, you know what, my strength is in working with communities and focusing on nature-based solutions and working with young people. There's people that I know where we started out like same, and then for them they went more into project management, and then there's others that went into the climate justice, you know, advocacy and whatnot. So like you have to try out a lot of things. You have to be there, and then, you know, at some point eventually say like, okay, this is where my strength is, and lean on that. But that still doesn't mean you don't learn the other aspects of it.
Yeah, I have to agree. What would you say are some of the challenges you experience in this space?
that's
an interesting.
You're asking very easy questions. The answers are just hard. Some of the challenges I have faced in this space, especially working with communities, is mindset change, which I would tell you will not happen there and then. You really have to be patient about it. And one thing I have learned over the time is when you're working with communities, we must remember that there's a certain way these communities lived. How did they know that it was going to rain or it's not going to rain? What should they plant before all the science came in? So having them to understand that there's the indigenous knowledge, but then there's the science, and let's put it together. And find a solution to this or work together. It's been quite challenging, because I think climate change is about changing, in as much as it is about raising awareness, but it's also bringing people to have a mindset change. You find you are talking about waste management and your participants are going home and you can just see your participant throwing the bottle over there in the road, and you're like, I spent 3 hours talking to you about this. Why is that bottle on the street? But yeah, it's more about mindset change, and I think that's one of the challenges that we faced, and it all comes down to having patience. You have passion, but you also need to have patience in this sector. So that, and I think for me, that's one of the challenges. But also on a higher level, it's funding for projects. You can have this brilliant project, but sourcing for funding is also another challenge that you'd face, just so that your project can come to life. So it's that has also been a challenge for me. But then you learn to get past these challenges. You learn to find solutions to the solution or solutions to the problems. But it's personally, again, I would say it's been great. Wait, am I still with you, Aka?
Yeah, Christina.
Yeah. Okay, you know, I fear. Staying, being in the bush, you can be talking. I can't show you a lot.
I mean, that's my fear too.
Okay, but for me, it's. I think I would say I've had it great that I've had this support system that has also helped build me. So then I don't really have those, you know, challenges like, oh, support from people. I've had that support, but I also understand that there's people out there that face those challenges, like having support. And I've, because there was someone for me to help build and nature me, I have told myself I'll be there for someone to help build and nature them so that they don't have that challenge. There was no support when I was starting out and stuff like that. But yeah.
That actually goes into something I am very passionate about, which is mentorship. I know it's kind of a fresh topic in Zambia. We don't really talk about mentors and mentorship and the type of impact we've had. I always like to think that indirectly or directly, we've all been mentored by somebody. What would you speak to that? Or what would you say to that?
I've always said that in this life, always have someone to mentor you, or always have mentors. I know when we talk about mentorship, we're thinking it should be one person. You can have someone who will mentor you in your personal life. You have someone that will mentor you spiritually. You can have someone that will mentor you career-wise, you know, financially, but always have mentors. Always have someone to look up to. Always have someone to sit down with and talk about certain issues. And they'll give you advice. They will rebuke you. They will build you. Always have a mentor. And sometimes it might not be someone that you've actually come to an agreement like, oh, I'll be your mentor, you'll be my mentee. No. Sometimes it's just someone who inspires you, and you're looking at their work and their work is speaking to you, and you're like, oh, okay, this person does things like this. I also want to be like this. Always have a mentor in this life as you grow, even in your old age. When you get to your old age, always have a mentor. Even if you are someone's mentor, also have a mentor. It's very important because it helps build you in all aspects of life.
I agree.
I have different mentors. I have mentors who don't know that they are my mentors, but me, they're mentoring me. And I have mentors who I will sit down with and have conversations with. Sometimes you have one mentor for all aspects. That's fine. But sometimes you have different mentors for different aspects of your life. That's fine as well. But always have a mentor. And pick your mentors wisely. Like, you know, I'm about to give an example. I am in the climate change space. At least I should have a mentor in the environmental climate change space. Yes, I will be mentored by maybe someone who is in the economics space, but how does that speak to me? So then you always have to have at least a mentor that aligns with you, with what you're doing rather, or with your brand, but have mentors.
Yeah, I agree. I think that even for me, one of the things I have done over the years is be very intentional about the people that mentor me. I think that the more you start to have a niche, the more you need to have a mentor in that. And also just understanding you will outgrow your relationship with your mentor, which is fine. It just shows that you've both grown and you can have more or do other stuff together or just have a relationship and move on. So yeah, that's on mentorship. Christina, I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
You know, you start you start with at the end you ask me a question and then I'll be there like, you know what, I'll be thinking of the question. And then you just make the whole conversation so interesting that we forget that we have a task to do. So now I'm like, ask you a question.
Oh, Aka.
This is so fun. You guys don't understand.
Ish. So, Aka, how has it been transitioning from like not really that you've left the climate change space, you are still there for the environment. Yeah. But how has it been actively there in the environmental climate change space to moving to a more business minded space? How has it been like for you?
I think it's all about the mindset shift. From all the challenges and the conversation we've had here, that also led me to make the decision to say, do I see myself in this space for 10 years? Do I see myself building a career? I am grateful for it. It's taught me so much. It's given me the best friendships ever. But is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Because it's nice and fun in high school when you are just passing time. But then when you start trying to build your career, it's very different. So it's really mindset shift, because on the more business aspect, we're thinking of how to make money and sustain the environment or whatever we're advocating for. On when it's on the advocacy side, it's all about impact. And yes, cost is in there. Of course, we need money to do this, but the impact we achieve. So for me, it's been, how do I build my company and still talk about the environment, or talk about the work I've been doing, or talk about the relationships I have built? So it's really a mindset shift. What people in the business world value is very different from what people in the advocacy or climate change world value. Yes, it's about the environment, but yes, it's about the environment, but it's like, okay, then what? Is it sustainable? I know, like, one of the few conversations we're really having is sustainability of projects and everything. One of the decisions that really led me to change, to go to be business is the whims of donors. It's okay if the donor says we're focusing on solar or we're focusing on this. Your projects as an organization or the projects you'd be creating have to be doing that. So I think for me, it was just like the mindset shift and also just being given the opportunity to really be able to make my own decisions. It's not easy. On the flip side of it, you learn a lot of skill sets, but you still need the fundamental. The fundamentals are networking, talking to people, being easy to work with, public speaking. The fundamentals are still the same. It's just that how you use them is very different and how you communicate is very different. So I think mindset shift, learning how to communicate is something I'm working on. Like, how do I communicate as a business person? How do I communicate about the work I'm doing? Yes, I want to talk about impact, but they want impact and they want numbers and they want proof. So it's a lot of that, but it's fun. I think I have fun. Not as much fun we had climate change, but now it's like, oh, I'm doing big girl stuff. So it's fun. I'm glad I get to build something and hopefully it impacts everybody that I am working with. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And like I always say, as long as you have the basic knowledge of how to keep your environment clean, whether you're in business, whether you're in a bank, whether you're in whatever space you're in, as long as you're taking care of the environment. I mean, look at you using this platform to reach out to the masses and on different topics. So now they're going to know about climate change and things that they can do. And, you know, so it's very important that
it also,
we do whatever we have to do. And I
think you also mentioned something to do with how you always, if you use a plastic bottle or anything, you always go back and recycle it. I always do that too. And the most turn off as a human being is I genuinely think, why are we friends with people that litter? Yeah, part of the problem we're all trying to solve. climate change is very individualistic. It can only be tackled as individuals when we start having conversations at home. Because I was like, okay, cool. I am going to leave my trash at home. I am going to take my trash back at home. And like you said, as long as a person, whichever sector you're in, this is the environment you're in, this is the environment you're working in, this is the environment your kids are going to be born into, your kids go to school in this environment, how do you want to treasure it? Because if it's a people leader, oh my goodness, I have a whole speech.
For me, if we are moving in a vehicle and you throw it, it doesn't, you can be my mother, my grandmother, my best friend, the car is stopping, you are walking out and you are picking it.
I think at least
I know that when you're with the people that are with me, people that are close to me and we're moving together and they do that, they even know that Christina doesn't stop the car and tell us to go out of the car.
True.
So they don't even do it.
So for me, also my other turn off, out of topic, but going to events that are talking about climate change or the environment. Actually, let's move away from climate change. The environment in general. And then they litter. You know what? I will never go back to that event. I have gone to these big, big events where you're doing your SDG stuff, Shani. Your SDG advocates or people of the community that are here to learn about the environment and how to support the SDGs, you guys are littering. You know what?
And it's one thing I've seen is these organizations moving more towards refillable water stations than the bottles.
Yes, I like that.
I love that as well. And if I plan an activity, I'm always doing that. And if I have like maybe disposable bottles to give, there's like a designated area because I know these bottles are going to go somewhere. And that's something that we're doing as well. I mean, we are in the park, but we have guests that come through and say, guys, you've come to the park to see animals. You find the park clean.
I know.
Then you throw bottles and then you're like, you are the same ones that want to come for a tour again in the next year. So you expect to see the same animals in this national park after you have fed them the plastics. The bin is right there. It says general waste. It says plastic waste. It says cardboard. What, like, you know, mindset change.
Yeah, it's a whole mindset shift. And like you said, it really does start from home. And one thing I do with myself is I carry a water bottle. It's either I carry my water bottle at home, I carry my Stanley cup. I always carry something. And it just doesn't sit well with me what the shift should be. But it's like, what policies do we need to put in place? But I know policies have been, we've tried putting policies in place, but it's an overall just mindset shift. So yeah, like I'm very passionate about littering. Yeah? It really just gets me wild enough.
Yeah, like it really does.
Yeah, it does. Maybe because I worked around that for like 5 years where we're telling people, please don't litter, please don't litter.
No, but also like, can you feel the heat? Can you see the water pollution? All these things. Yeah. It's not like it's another person experiencing them. Like I'm feeling the heat and there you are just adding to it. Like what's wrong with you? And then you want to come and tell us Boma Iranganepo. No.
Well, Christina, it's such a joy to have you here. And this has been an amazing conversation. My last question for you is, what do you look forward to?
Where?
In general. Could be now. Could be fun.
What I look forward to would probably be very biased, but I look forward to a time that everyone can be environmentally cautious. A time where people just don't throw litter. You know, you'd be on a Yango and this driver throws and you're like, why have you thrown it? You know, like a time that people understand the importance of protecting the environment, the time that people understand that we truly only have one earth, the time that people understand that these natural resources that are around us, yes, we have to use them, but we have to use them sustainably. The future generations or the generations to come should be able to see the wildlife, see these trees and appreciate them, should be able, you know the stories that the hotel has said there long, long ago, 24th October, you know that it has started raining.
Yeah, like before,
you know, it's a story. Yes, it's a story, but it's very sad. Like, you know, now we are having rainfall starting in January and understand that it's the things that these human activities that are happening or that we're doing that are contributing to the damage. And at the end of the day, I'm the one benefiting animals that we are poaching. And then you say, after all, God gave us these animals. I mean, even the Bible, for those that read the Bible, says he put you in charge of these things. Now, if you're in charge of something and then you're destroying it, you've been told, take care. You've started overeating it. So I wish for us to reach a point where we all understand the role that the different organisms play in our ecosystem and what our role is for us to protect our earth. Because me only say, me only have earth, I don't have earth. Someone has a secret that we're going to Mars. And it's sustainable. Please let us know. For me, only one earth, and we need to protect it.
Yeah, I love that response, and I totally agree. We should take care of what we have seen, not what we are assuming we will receive. It's like, take care of what you've been given, not thinking, the future will be better, I'll be given better. So yeah, Christina, what the end, and thank you so much for coming. I had so much fun.
Thank you very much for having me. I had a blast, and honestly, it was nice. Let's just call this a catch up.
I know.
And Aka's catch up, because it has been a while, and it's been great. You have made my day.
Yeah, no, I liked our catch up.
I was really looking forward to this.
Me too.
Yeah. I was looking forward to this hour. Thank you very much for thinking about me.
Thank you so much for coming. Have
in there, you reaching out to me is you telling me that I'm doing something, and I'm doing something good.
You are doing amazing work. I'm doing great. You're doing great, Christina. I see it. I just know life is just happening, that we all are trying to catch up, but we don't catch up right times. You're doing amazing work. And again, it was so good to kind of talk about the past history. And the work we've been doing, and just talk about what's happening now and what we'd like to see. Maybe that would inspire more climate change ambassadors. That would help this episode also just sheds light on your work and what's actually happening with the environment. On the other hand, I always say this to people, my podcast is always going to be a catch up with me and my friends, because why not?
Because your friends are your network.
I know, right? This is so much fun. Well, Christina, you're really exposing me. Bye for now. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.
Alrighty. Thank you. At the end, we should have a ding, 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 you know?
You've done it.